Victory or death!
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 Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon. This is episode 21-24, the 24th episode of 2021. And I am the voice of freedom for patriots behind enemy lines here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Recording from a secret undisclosed bunker location somewhere in central Virginia. And I'm going to talk about a couple different things today. The Loudoun School Board is doubling down on CRT. Got an interesting article here from Daily Wire. Bumbles is oh so wrong again on the Second Amendment. Got some interesting audio from the video and some responses to that. And a couple other things that I will be going over as the show progresses. Before I get started, let me tell you about the show's sponsor, ActiCare of the Blue Ridge, ACTIKARE.com/blue-ridge. ActiCare is in-home senior care for your loved one when you can't be there. Whether you're in Roanoke, Smith Mountain Lake, Bedford, Campbell, out in the country, Lynchburg, get in touch with them, ACTIKARE.com/blue-ridge. John and his team will take good care of you. Want to remind you that you can get all the show notes and more information about the show at RadioFreeVirginia.com, RadioFreeVirginia.com. Podbean and Stitcher are the two most common apps that I know people use when they listen to the show, and I know they work on both of those, but they're on a couple other ones, I believe, and I haven't tested this because I don't have any Apple products, but I've got it set up over at Apple Podcast and iHeart Podcast and a couple other places, but in any case, you can get show notes and stuff like that at RadioFreeVirginia.com. You can also check out some of the merch that I'm developing. After I'm done recording this show, I will be working on a Killdozer shirt at the request of a listener. So check out that stuff and support the show by picking up one of those things. Well, this first article I'm going to share with you is about Loudoun County School Board doubling down on CRT. And it's by Chrissy Clark over at Daily Wire. One Virginia school district has found itself in the eye of the politically correct hurricane as the fight against critical race theory dominates headlines in right-leaning media. The fight between parents and Virginia's Loudoun County School Public School, which I've mentioned them before, they're ridiculously overfunded. Most of these schools are. They are like pigs at a giant trough full of your food. And they just continue to scarf it up, and we have to just keep having food taken off our tables to pay for this kind of stuff. The fight between parents and Virginia's Loudoun County Public School LCPS District Board came to a head on Tuesday night after police arrested at least two parents who refused to leave a public school board meeting. Parents have been embroiled in a nearly year-long pushback against the district for allegedly pushing critical race theory on children. An allegation the district vehemently denies. The beginning, and I'm going to skip around here, skip some of the less relevant parts. The beginning of LCPS's critical race theory push started before the racial uproar sparked by the death of St. Fentanyl of Floyd in Minneapolis. I added that part. Between 2018 and 2020, LCPS spent $422,000 in taxpayer funds on diversity training. These programs were hosted by the Equity Collaborative, a California-based consulting firm. Oh, wonderful. $422,000. You've got to be kidding me. Following St. Fentanyl of Floyd's death, the district recommitted itself to promoting social justice in the classroom and sought out the assistance of Learning for Justice, a left-wing Southern Poverty Law Center's teaching arm, to craft the district's new curriculum. The proposed lesson plans recommended restructuring history and social studies classes to emphasize slavery as fundamental to American society for students from kindergarten to fifth grade. Evil. We were founded on evil and we should be abolished. We should be canceled. America should be canceled, right? Under direction from Learning for Justice, LCPS Equity Board ordered its Equity Board? The heck's an Equity Board? Ordered its school to avoid connecting Read Across America Day with Dr. Seuss. The board claimed that Dr. Seuss's children's books contained racial undertones that are not suitable for culturally responsive learning. I have yet to be able to understand that. I've read many, many Dr. Seuss books over the years to my kids, and I can't find any racism there. The curriculum shifts and training seminars were primarily pressed through the district's progressive school board. The board did not publicly announce many of the changes. Instead, there was a concerted effort to promote diversity and equity, inclusivity messaging in nearly every facet of the district. DEI. I just took me a second to figure out what that was. The board began with crafting a speech code that would have prohibited teachers from criticizing the school board's racial equity plan. District employees were instructed to be committed to action-oriented equity practices in all forms of personal and public speech. The code was hidden instead of a professional conduct policy proposal. The speech code was squashed following union blowback. Two sides of the communists in the Loudoun County School Board pushing back against each other. That's funny. With the board's blessing, individual LCPS classrooms began promoting DEI messaging to students as young as 6 years old. The district also hired an equity lead, probably a lesbian, right, or a transgender person, you know, who distributed graphics claiming that Christians are privileged and women, children, and people over the age of 50 experience oppression. At Guilford Elementary School, teachers were required to undergo an equity presentation that insinuated that Hispanic parents and students are unable to perform in educational settings because they face immigration and deportation threats, health concerns, and more. Well, they shouldn't be here illegally, and they wouldn't have to face that, right? Nonsense. Tell me where. Where in any Virginia school has an illegal alien been deported? Hey, we're coming into your school. We're going to take your kids and, you know, ship you off back to your home country, which is what we should do, but we don't do that. That doesn't happen. In a first-year high school English class, students were allowed to read a book that discussed young adults performing oral sex on one another. The book explores issues such as race, mental illness, sexuality, and media bias, and was taught to honors English students at Stone Bridge High School. I actually came across this video of a parent coming and reading excerpts from this thing, and it is the most vile, horrid thing you can imagine. No adult should be reading this. It is awful. Certainly no child should be reading this. It's so bad I won't even expose you to it. That's how bad it was. In March, video footage shows a teacher bullying a student for saying he takes a colorblind approach to observing people. The teacher called a high school student intentionally coy for not categorizing two women in a picture by their race. Well, I thought, you know, we weren't identifying people's gender and stuff like that, so I would imagine that this poor student doesn't know what to think. So you remember several months back, this came out. There was a whole group within, they created a Facebook group, and there were screenshots of it where they were saying that they should marginalize anyone that is anti-CRT and anti, you know, they were calling them racists and all kinds of other stuff, and they were trying to expose them and dox them and do all kinds of things. And so that's, you know, part of this article. Parents, teachers, and students began speaking up at public school board meetings about the effects of critical race theory on their children. A black mother called the board racist for daring to teach her children that they were oppressed. Eighth grader Jolene Glover slammed the school board for attempting to allow biological males to be able to undress in locker rooms with biological females. I mean, it's absurd that we even have to say the word biological next to male and female. That is how much the communists have turned truth on its head here, and words. I mean, this is very Orwellian. A survivor of Mao's China stunned the LCPS school board with a chilling warning about the way critical race theory indoctrinates students, and a teacher was temporarily suspended for ripping the board over a proposed transgender pronoun policy. This all culminated into the arrests of parents who refused to leave a school board meeting. The board voted to silence parents condemning them by suddenly ending the public comment portion of the meeting, which was scheduled to go on for hours. Parents chanted, "Shame on you," and sang the Star Spangled Banner in protest to the board's agenda change. Good for you. Good for you, parents, for standing up. I think you should stand up. I also think you should yank your kids out of this school. You are funding this system to the tune of $10,000 for every one of your students. It's probably more now, but I know it's $10,000 per kid a year that is in this system. It's time to go. Well, we can't afford it. Time to figure out how. You know we figured out how? We figured it out. And you know what it means sacrifice? It means not buying a boat, not means not buying an RV. It means not buying a vacation house at the beach or doing the things that I would like to do. It's called sacrifice. That's what parents have to do. And it's time for you parents to pull your kids out of this system. Virginia's Democratic politicians are brushing parental pushback under the rug. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Terry McAuliffe called critical race theory a right-wing conspiracy that was totally made up by Republicans. So this guy's not stupid, so you know. Terry McAuliffe is not stupid. He is very crafty, very good politician. He knows exactly what critical race theory is. He is a typical communist liar. And he knows it's a real thing. Most of the Loudoun County School Board have shown an utter contempt for the opinions and First Amendment rights of students, parents, and teachers, Pryor said. Last night was just the latest demonstration from the school board that they are far more interested in serving special interest groups than they are in listening to and working with parents to ensure excellence in education. There is no excellence in our education system. There used to be. In Virginia, we used to have very good schools. And then it started getting this kind of junk in it. And you started having a bunch of idiots from Democrat places moving into Virginia. We saw the massive growth in government after 9/11. And that is what has shifted us demographically. There's other organizations, communist groups, I've talked about many times on the show, that are doing get out the vote effort. They're paying people to go get the vote out. And it's working. And so we've seen all these shifts. We've seen all these changes in Virginia. And here we are. And here Loudoun County School Board, the largest school board in Virginia, is basically doing whatever the heck they want. And you know what? These parents are in such a minority there, most people don't care. Most parents don't care. It's sad, but they don't. And the only solution here is to avoid it. Do you know that you could start a private school with 100 other families? You could start it yourself and have all the money you need to pay for the teachers and anything you'd need. So just start your own private school if there isn't one. There's certainly a demand for it. What's more important? Your kids getting educated or having them get indoctrinated? Well, I think education's more important, not indoctrination. But, you know, hey, that's just me. You know, just remember that cancel culture is a dress rehearsal for mass murder. I got that from Western Rifle Shooters. Might have been Stephen Molyneux. I can never pronounce his last name. He might have been the one that said that. In any case, it is. They're practicing. They want you dead. I keep saying it. One of these days we're going to see that it's true. They want you dead. Well, I want them dead. So I guess, you know, that works out well. Next up, we've got Bumbles. Oh, so wrong on the Second Amendment. Take a listen to this audio here.
The Second Amendment, from the day it was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the Tree of Liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there are never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. The point is that there's always been the ability to limit, rationally limit, the type of weapon that can be owned and who can own it.
Oh, so wrong. I'm sure you heard many, many ways that he's wrong. I'm going to go item by item here and have some commentary.
The Second Amendment, from the day it was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon.
Ha! Wrong!
Oh my goodness, that is the furthest thing from the truth. There were no limitations, zero. The whole idea was that you had to have weapons so that, you know, you could defend yourself against a tyrannical government, which is what they just did. There were no limitations. There weren't even limitations on felons and criminals. None. Because you know why? You used to kill felons and criminals. So you, if somebody was a robber and was terrorizing people, you killed him. Somebody was a murderer, you hung him. That was it. Done. So there wasn't any of this, well, you know, felons can't own guns. That came much later. And you know, this is just absolutely ridiculous. The idea that you, as a free man, can't own a cannon or couldn't own a howitzer if you could afford it is completely false. The founder's idea would be, if you could afford to own a battleship, you should be able to buy a battleship. And what does shall not be infringed mean? It's a total no limitations, no holds barred. The Second Amendment's purpose is for shooting tyrants in the face. That's what it's for. Not for hunting. It's not for self-defense. It's for fighting tyranny.
Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the Tree of Liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is...
Oh, once again, poor Bumbles, he can't get it figured out. Oh, I'm just this, use your teleprompter, dude. Obama wasn't that eloquent. He was smart enough to use a teleprompter. Okay, so the quote is, the Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. Thomas Jefferson, great Virginian. And this doddering idiot can't even get the quote right and can't get the context or understanding right. And I don't know what he's trying to say here. Well, you know, the Tree of Liberty is not watered with the blood of patriots. Oh, really? Tell that to all the patriots who have preserved liberty in this country and who have fought enemies, foreign and domestic, to preserve its liberty. Tell that to the patriots who killed the Germans and shut down the Nazis. Tell that to those that fought the Japanese. He gets that just completely wrong. And you can see the cognitive decline every time he speaks, every time he opens his mouth. You either see that or the you know, the pervy, creepy Uncle Joe Bumbles comes out. Look at that little girl. She looks like she's 19. Creepy slime ball.
That there never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons.
Well, when it comes to the F-15, I think if you could afford an F-15, I think you should be able to buy an F-15. They're made by a private company. They're not made by the government. And even if they were, I think you should be able to buy one. You should be able to buy the ordnance. If you can afford, what, $100 million? I don't know what they cost. $100 million and say another, you know, $2 or $3 million in ordnance, then, you know, good for you. And millions of dollars in fuel. Great. Go for it, Patriot. However, actually, this is one of the few things I don't think the founders ever could have envisioned. We'd create something like the nuclear bomb. And I don't think people should be able to buy nuclear bombs. That's simple. However, if we follow the logical argument that he's making, then the internet's a pretty powerful thing. That obviously the First Amendment would never have applied to that. And you know, I'm going to share some comments here from some ex-military guys that I found that I think pretty well sum up how you don't need nukes and an F-15 to fight the government. And I think 20 years of experience over in the Middle East will tell us that. Bunch of stinking guys in skirts with AK-47s shutting down the United States military. All the technology they've got. Let's finish up with Bumbles here.
The point is that there's always been the ability to limit, rationally limit, the type of weapon that can be owned and who can own it.
Not true and not true at all. Used to be you could walk into your local hardware store and buy whatever existed. You want to buy a machine gun? Okay. You want to buy whatever? Buy it. You walk out. No problem. You could have bought a cannon. Nobody did because it just their use is limited. And, you know, I'm not going to go rolling down the street with a cannon and a howitzer attached behind my truck because it takes a crew to run it and it has a purpose. You know, you're softening a target before attacking the target. So, but the point is that before the 30s, before the stupid communist idiots passed the Firearms Control Act in 1936, I believe it was, there were no limitations. None. Not one dang limitation. There was no ATF. There was barely an FBI. So, no limitations. None. Let's take a look here at this comment. And this was found through, this is on Gab. And he says, I'm weeping with laughter. Former red team planner for the government here. And I don't know if any of this is true. These are the threads they monitor the most. If there was a revolution in the U.S., the rest of the world would get involved fast. Depending on the type of uprising, there's a large chance that it would be a quick affair. It would be brutal. It would be bloody. And the U.S. government could start a global scale war. Here are the top 10 issues that come up. And this is interesting. This is one of the things you should start thinking about some of these with your team. The U.S. power grid can be taken down by a series of surgical strikes, with the exception of the Texas grid. By surgical strikes, I mean a few marksmen, U.S. Army tier marksmen, the minimum required. What he's saying is it's not that hard. Hitting certain spots of the grid would mess with the military and the government because they need the grid more than you and I. Additionally, while all government agencies have backup generators, they will be hard-pressed dealing with the resultant looting and other madness that would come with power outages. This would effectively create another front for the military. It would also turn the people against the government more quickly and paralyze the government's propaganda machine. So it's also going to shut down the internet, which I don't know if he talks about later in this. Worse still, the key points of the U.S. power grid are publicly obtainable information. You can go search and you can actually find every little bit of where it goes. And you could easily point, okay, if it was hit there, and there, that would be a problem. And not only are the points too many to be effectively guarded, they are not guarded anyway. So have you ever driven by a power substation? These are the big things where all the wires come together. There's nobody guarding that thing. You know, I mean, I'm not going to get into the details, but I mean, you just think about that. And he talks about the desertion rate during the Civil War, and he cites a bunch of statistics. You know, he's talking about who's going to depart the military, the FBI, the NSA, and these things. I don't think the four-letter agencies are going to have as many people leaving as he thinks, because I think that most of those agencies are infiltrated and so wholly controlled by communists that, you know, a lot of people, they're going to stick it. They're going to stick with it because they're going to keep getting a check. They're going to keep being able to feed their family. It's just, that's human nature. Look at the Nazis. I was following orders. All right, so Tea Party, right-wing extremists, and Oath Keepers, which are considered untrained racists who aren't good with a gun, often are A, veterans. This is good. Veterans who now have more time to have fun at the range, sometimes more than Army units or Marine units, in addition to previous military training. B, often camp and do other outdoor activities more than many in the military do, as the focus has gone away from field exercises. And C, often have better equipment outside of armor and heavy weapons than the military. However, C is kind of irrelevant because many of the places in which these people could hide would make the kind of war the U.S. fights with that equipment, with the equipment they use is pointless. Outside influence is a huge problem. Russia has already stated they would back a Texas separation movement. And so he goes on there. All right, a civil war is not just the U.S. versus the rebels. There will be looting. There will be rioting. Cities will burn. The National Guard cannot fight both rebels and rioters in a city that would also be out of supplies. Additionally, if you don't think that the rebels will send in instigators into cities or worse, standalone actors, you know, lone wolf on steroids, think Timothy McVeigh, but instead of one van, they have a whole fleet of them. A good movie example would be Bane. You would be mistaken. If U.S. government cannot help its own people, why would its own people support the remaining treasonous military? And he says treasonous military because he talks about the desertion rate of the patriots that are in the military who would not be there. So the only ones left would be what he's saying, calling treasonous military. Worse yet, if someone emptied out prisons, there are more prisoners in the U.S. and the people than there are people in the entire Chinese army. You would have more crime than the police could ever handle. So I disagree with some of the stuff he says. He continues on. I'll share a link. You can read the whole thing. But his whole concept is just chaos. There's going to be a lot of chaos. And it wouldn't take much. You want to go up against the government who has F-15s and nukes. It's not that hard. I mean, look at the Middle East for the last few years. I mean, we threw everything we had at them. Treasure and just awesome talent. And you know, and what have we got to show for it? I mean, somebody tell me, what have we got to show for that? I know that sucks to even say, but what? Well, not much, if anything. We got pipeline through Afghanistan, I think. Opium coming out of Afghanistan. I'm just like, what have we accomplished? I don't know. But what he's saying here is that we have a lot of people, and the government likes to poo-poo us and call us white supremacists and extremists and all kinds of other names and say that, you know, we don't even know what we're doing with our guns. I know guys, and there's guys every weekend competing, well, when you could compete because there was ammo, but they could shoot out to a mile. I'm not even joking, a mile. I can't shoot out to a mile. I do 1,000 yards, okay, but a mile? I mean, that's amazing. I mean, it's a whole nother level of accuracy when you're doing stuff like that. And this is what these guys do in their weekends for fun. So, okay, Bumbles, your move. We're all pretty much just sitting here waiting for, you know, whatever is to come. And we'll see how that goes. All right, next is from the American Thinker. And this is, I don't think this is a real person. Anonymy. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not a real person. All right, this title is Preparing for the Coming Food Shortages Associated with the Dark Cold Years. We've had the most extraordinary year of drought and cold ever known in the history of America. The crop of corn through the Atlantic states will probably be less than one-third of an ordinary one. That of still less and mean quality. The crop of wheat was middling in quantity, but excellent in quality. But every species of bread grain taken together will not be sufficient for the subsistence of the inhabitants. This was Thomas Jefferson, written to Albert Gallatin on September 8th, 1816. 1816 was the year without a summer. It was the trough of the Dalton minimum, not even a grand solar minimum, and was exacerbated by the massive eruption of Mount Tamboro in Indonesia in 1815, which darkened the globe. Violent eruptions tended to coincide with solar minimums. Well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of that. Recently, I've written about modern grand solar minimums here and here, links articles, predicted to run from 2020 through 2053. The trough, the darkest, coldest years, is predicted for 2028 through 2032. It's a once every 400-year event. So a grand solar minimum, a lot of you ham radio guys, you know about the sun and what the sun does. A lot of people don't know this, but a grand solar minimum is this giant dip in solar output in various things. And the sun runs in cycles. You know, and some are small cycles and some are huge cycles and different cycles, and they're predictable. We're in what's called the grand solar minimum. And it's going to go on for a while. And this is what's interesting about all this like talk about solar and wind and all this other things. Look, global warming, and I'm sorry, climate change is a real thing, but it's not being caused by us, not in any measurable way. It's being caused by the sun. The sun does this. And what we should be doing is developing fossil fuel and nuclear technology that would let us grow indoors and you know, produce food with energy, but we're not going to ever get that out of stupid solar. Contemplating several years of low harvest on a global scale with perhaps more years of lingering bad weather is largely outside of our experience. My grandparents and parents lived through the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl. Mom's family farmed wheat. Dad's folks were just plain dirt poor. They all suffered. No matter what else might happen in our lives, our families, our neighbors, our country, our world is facing predictably dark, cold years, and we need to prepare. Well, this also could be just a bunch of nonsense. I mean, we could be wrong. We think we understand everything, but we're not God. So you have to look at that. Last year, some food, farm, and household supplies were unavailable. This reflected negative impacts from reduced harvest from the previous year, bad weather, COVID interruptions, production and processing, limited imports, supply chain and transport disruptions, lack of processing supplies like metal for cans. I think, you know, all of the above. You know, and when we talk about smaller crops, I just want you to think when you go to the store and you buy something, just look at the peaches and nectarines. They're very susceptible to heat, you know, and not getting enough heat and sun. And that is something that has happened this year. And they're tiny. They're a fraction of the size I normally see them. And they're still tasty, but very small. And then he goes on and says, historically, grand solar minimums are marked by bad weather, poor harvest, and famine. Hopefully, we still have several not too bad years to get our affairs in order. We start looking at where and what to do and what to eat. And we manage it. Can we manage most of this at home if needed? So then he starts talking about prepping and the things you need to prep, the amounts of food and different things like that. And I love this line. He says, preppers say you eat what you store, so store what you eat. It's also a good idea to taste a product before investing in a large quantity. So don't store beans if your whole family hates beans because they're easy to store, you know. Don't store rice if you hate rice. Or maybe store it, but, you know, store it for a purpose to trade it with others for things you actually want. I mean, you know, he goes on and on about this. There's tons of stuff about prepping. I've talked about prepping. You can do that. But as far as this line, it's a good idea to taste a product before investing in a large quantity. So there's a company called Wise Foods. I think they're still around. They're terrible. Just awful. It's as if somebody put gravy in a bag with some cardboard. I mean, it's awful. We tried it. Ordered some. So I'm looking for some different products. So let's try this. It was so awful. Nobody in the family liked it. So, well, we're not obviously not ordering any of this stuff. Contrast that to Mountain House and Backpacker's Pantry and some others, which aren't cheap, but man, they're good. I mean, I could eat those like right now. I just talking about it makes me want to go grab a bag and, you know, heat it up. Very tasty. Okay, back to the article. One thing we cannot know at this time is to what degree crops will fail. 20%, 50%, 75%. It will differ every year in the trough. This presumes, of course, that farmers will continue to try to farm in the face of rotten weather and limited livestock feed. I'll just skip ahead and read the last paragraph here. Hopefully, the government will heed the scientists' warning. If farmers maximize production and the government supports processing for long-term food storage, as well as stockpiles as much as it can, this, combined with our individual efforts, will ensure the maximum number of people can make it through, if not a great reset of another sort and not of the politician's choice, may be upon us. Overall, a pretty good article. If you're into data, I think you'll really like that one. The future is unknown to us. And, you know, Jesus could return before any of that happens, but he also might not. I mean, humanity's entire history is full of famine and suffering and lack of food and drought and the whole story of Joseph is about God warning Joseph, and then he takes that to makes him, you know, because of that warning, he's able to set food aside and prepare, be a prepper. And he saves the nation of Egypt and as well the nation of Israel. And Egypt for many years after is rich because of that. And a lot of other crazy stuff happens, but that's another story. So prepping is important, and now is the time to prep. You know, not when, and you know, the time to buy ammo was 2 years ago when you could get it for $300 for 1,000 rounds of .223. The time to buy ammo is, well, if you don't have any, is whenever, is now. On ammo, I will say, if you can get your hands on steel case for considerably cheaper than you can get brass case, do it. I've shot steel case for years. The only reason I buy brass case is because I reload now. That's it. That's the only reason. If it wasn't for that, I'd be buying steel case. You know, a nice thing about steel case is you're shooting at the range. You don't have to care if you lose them. Those brass cases are like my precious. So go get ammo. Buy lots of ammo. Start prepping. Start reading about it. Oh my gosh, there's so many great YouTube videos out there on these topics. You know, I'm not going to bother beating that dead horse. I watched the other night a interesting video. It was called Ladybug, Ladybug. And it was a movie from 1963. And it was, I don't know what its purpose was, to be honest, but it was all about fear and, you know, the nuclear bomb. And it was the story of these kids' elementary school, and the civil defense yellow light goes off, which means imminent nuclear attack. So they send all the kids home in these groups, and this follows this one group of kids, and just the terror that these kids essentially inflict on themselves because of just the unknown, because there's no adults leading them, and essentially the teachers then walking them home in groups. And it reminded me a lot of now, you know, with all this COVID stuff, and you got to get the vaccine, and you see these perfectly healthy young people walking around with masks outside by themselves. Look at the fear they've instilled in them. Here's a snippet from the duck and cover era.
Duck and cover.
Be sure and remember what Bert the Turtle just did, friends, because every one of us must remember to do the same thing. That's what this film is all about. Duck and cover. Paul and Patty know this. No matter where they go or what they do, they always try to remember what to do if the atom bomb explodes right then. It's a bomb. Duck and cover. Sundays, holidays, vacation time, we must be ready every day, all the time, to do the right thing if the atomic bomb explodes. Duck and cover. That's the first thing to do. Duck and cover. First, you duck. Then, you cover. You duck and cover tight. Duck and cover under the table. It's a bomb. Duck and cover.
He did what we all must learn to do.
You
and you
and you
and you
duck and cover.
He did what we all must learn to do. You and you and you duck and cover. Duck and cover, everybody, to save yourself from a nuclear bomb. You're walking down the street, you see a big flash. Oh my goodness, duck and cover. You see a flash, it's over. You're hosed, and there's so much radiation in the air. You don't want to survive that. Thank you very much. I mean, don't live near a potential strike target. That would be the thing you want to do if you want to survive a nuclear blast. You know, nuclear bombs now are much cleaner and, well, much more powerful and can be much more tactical, but we're very fortunate at the moment that nobody thinks it's a good idea to use those. But times change. So I just want to think of you to think about the fear, though, that they were experiencing, and think about the fear that our society is experiencing. Right now, it's, I think, much worse, or as worse, as bad as the nuclear era, you know, we call it back during the Cold War. Well, this is a thing that was posted at Western Rifle Shooter by a guy named Eric. Neverhadaboss.com. It was the was all I got on that. As a kid, I was fascinated with other worldly tales, but the first ones to really scare me was The Pedestrian, 1951 by Ray Bradbury, the story of a guy out walking at night, stopped by an unmanned police vehicle wanting to know why he was not at home watching his viewing screen. Bradbury had it all right. Even driverless cars, and most of all, an understanding that life functions around oppressive control by an elite. If we present circumstances as science fiction, what is the plot for this story? Instigators for the Great Reset, Make Back Better, include well-known Malthusians, who want most of us dead, advocating precipitous actions to reduce global populations now. We know who these people are, those same ones who devastated Libya and the Middle East, Venezuela, Ukraine, well-meaning serial killers who, after their first 20,000 murders, seem to be able to take it in stride and to set their plan in motion. Just as the Mongols would build timber walls around existing fortification walls of a city under attack, isolating the inhabitants in terror, the resetters took it upon themselves to isolate the world population by raising a wall of fear for a virus that amounted to no more than a bad flu. Oh, and that's true. Using masks that do no good and issuing stay-at-home orders that kept people indoors. Scientists knew we were safer outdoors. Commandeering obedience for the efficient cause of their plan. Gene therapy disguised as vaccines. Gene therapy that in previous SARS trials was known to cause blood clots. An interesting plot twist, because why would a gene therapy known to cause blood clots be rushed to market? Why would toxicology study protocols always done before human trials be abandoned? And why would a vaccine with only emergency use status be promoted as safe, an obvious lie, and offered to pregnant women and children? In terms of sci-fi population reduction, pregnant women and children would be two important categories. Meanwhile, in the real world, we have been lied to about the facts of science, suppressed by their coordinated effort on the part of government and WHO CDC since 2019. Even now, with their diabolical spokesperson, Fauci, thoroughly discredited, he remains in power while a whitewash job is done to resurrect him. What Bradbury didn't have was the idea of a digital vaccine passport, which are truly necessary elements to this narrative, because from a digital data center, an elite would be able to make us marionettes dance at will. They are already promoting and bringing about booster shots to deal with viral variants, but the variants are 99.7 similar to COVID-19, making boosters totally unnecessary to mount an immune response. We are told this is a novel virus. It's not a novel virus. 60% similar to the common cold and 80% similar to early SARS viruses, meaning a great many persons have strong immunity against it. Natural immunity, which gets compromised by the jabs. Without testing for naturally occurring antibodies resulting from the fighting off of earlier viruses, healthy persons are jabbed and stripped of natural ability to mount a defense. Let me reiterate, I write fiction, and this is an exercise in science fiction. But why, in dealing with the virus, are we cajoled into injections that are not vaccines and are unable to eradicate the virus? Actually, a side story here. Our pastor from where we moved in California from got the vaccine and just had COVID-19. So, I don't know why he got the vaccine, but, you know, he just had COVID-19. What does that tell you? Why did they only deal with the part that is the spike protein and not the whole virus? Going after one aspect, the spike protein, gives the virus time to devise a way around that little wall they put up, extending the life and times of virus, which would have passed through much more quickly if it had been left alone. From a Bradbury perspective, what is the plot now? Booster shots are not vaccines, so what is it about a booster shot that could change reality on a cellular level? Vaccine passports would change cellular reality, but because we have a Bill of Rights, we are a nation who can stop it. Canada and Britain, in fact the entire EU, have no guaranteed rights. They do what they are told. Given that the viral response is a bunch of tyrannical garbage, even without sci-fi, built on lies and PR, we had better use our rights. If we do not step up and we get vaccine passports, what then? As with digitally locked down currency, the elite would gain total control. As political, medical, economic screws tighten, as with taxes, it only gets worse. At first, without your booster appearing on your phone, you don't fly. Then it changes. You can't get gas or a quart of milk. That's a good scenario. Since our friends on high can rationalize the murders of 20,000, what happens when they see the need to kill off another 5 or 6 billion? No worries, you're strong and healthy. Not one of those dribblers with brain clots. You get assigned a burial detail that spans the globe, one of the fortunates with job security. Suppose the only person subsidized are those willing to be chipped. Or worse than that, one of the boosters has the chip. They fail to mention that. In it, because of tyrannical Malthusians, differ from others, being up to the task, doing what has to be done. Is this fiction? The elite know this virus is not acutely lethal, yet they spent a fortune promoting fear, while keeping actual facts to themselves in a disinformation campaign. For the elite to prevail, the gullible need to be enlisted as shills, giving the elite immunity from the herd, with the virus. If they can get just enough of us jabbed, the rest can be corralled into ignominious grouping anti-vaxxers, where name-calling is all that's needed. No matter that you willingly took vaccines for polio and smallpox, you are an anti-vaxxer, one who refuses to acquiesce to dictated, inevitable cellular data dumps. Because I would add, the science. The knights of the science have dictated to you that this is scientific and that it's safe. They have spoken. Is this article science fiction? Do we now give the elite the benefit of simply being stupid, taking us forward technologically to a place from which we cannot get back, where one can never unvaccinate and may never be free from the hideous illness that persists? Or are the elite simply morons who didn't realize what they were doing? If the answer is yes, is the suppression of gold, the stripping of American rights, and the destruction of our economy just bad planning by morons? Or does Ray Bradbury see it otherwise? It's an interesting take on the whole thing, kind of equating it to a science fiction story, but actually having probably a lot of truth in there. These people know exactly what they're doing. If you haven't gotten the vaccine, I would recommend you not get it. I was walking around in a building this week that had somebody had gotten COVID. It was a school. And I thought to myself, well, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to get it if I get it or not get it, or maybe I've already had it. But it didn't matter. I mean, I thought, well, I mean, I wish masks work. Honestly, I do. I wish I could just wear a mask and not catch a cold. But they don't. I wish that this was a vaccine, but it's not. I just went to confirm, I wanted to get some numbers here. No Jab For Me is a website, nojabforme.info. So I went there, or tried to go there, typed .com, and it didn't go there. So, oh, shoot. So went in, searched, and I Googled it. No results. Went to DuckDuckGo. It's the number one result. Just typed in No Jab For Me. And because I was looking for the latest vaccine death numbers, we're at over 4,500 since they've started these experimental vaccines. And it's pretty shocking. You know, that's a lot of people that have died from this. And, you know, that doesn't include the adverse reactions and whatever the thing is doing to people's bodies. I've talked about this before. And so, you know, go listen to those shows and do your own research. Go to that website, nojabforme.info, and find out some more information. Go to Radio Free Virginia and get some merch. Help support the show. So next week's show, I'm going to try and focus on unconventional warfare. I've got some stuff from the Special Operations Command website that looked really interesting. So I'm going to try and go through that this week and hopefully give you like a primer on some of the topics that they talk about here and give you the tools you need to stay in the fight, if you know what I mean. I'd like to remind you that you were not made to fit in. You were born to stand out. I'm Hank Reardon. This is Radio Free Virginia. God bless you.